Hey, here's an ancient Rome quiz. What did Julius Caesar say when his pal asked him how many hot dogs he had for lunch? Et tu, Brute? Hey, what's your problem, butthead?
Back to the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more. Cause there's still things to explore in Marchy McFly 4. It's Marchy McFly 4. Can you feel it?
It's day five, and for the fifth straight day, I am talking about a not very good cartoon. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Marchy McFly 4. It's day five of year four. I'm back here again. It is Tuesday evening by the time I'm getting this recording out. This is the first one that I've done at night, but it will not be the last one. I repeat, it will not be the last one. I could have done it earlier this morning before work. I mentioned my wife was out yesterday with she had a back injection for pain. I mentioned that, right? And it was really bugging her. She couldn't sleep well at all. So you know what? She took the day off today. So I was up early. I had all this time in the morning and I used it watching TV instead of watching and talking about Back to the Future, the animated series. But she's doing better. She's feeling better. She will be off to work tomorrow, which means she leaves about 7:30. So that gives me about an hour to maybe watch more television or get into episode 6 of Back to the Future, the animated series. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to be the case. I'm probably going to need a little more time than that 1 hour. Because tomorrow we will not be talking about Back to the Future, the animated series. That's all I'm going to tell you right now. If you've listened to the theme song or heard me talk about it any other time, then maybe you'd think, oh, I think this is what he's going to be talking about. But I'm not going to tell you. I'll never tell, except when I tell you tomorrow. But today, once again, I am talking about the animated series, and I don't know how I feel about this episode I'm going to be talking about, though I did actually chuckle. And it wasn't because it was any real great writing. It was because of a specific voice character that I just found funny with their delivery. But other than that, the episode we're going to be talking about today was, you know, meh. It was okay. It was okay. That's all I'll really say. And I don't think I want to waste any more time. I don't want to waste any more of your time for sure. I appreciate that you're even listening this far. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about episode 5 of season 1 of Back to the Future, the animated series. Roman Holiday, also known as Swing Low, Sweet Chariot Race.
We'll be right back.
Roman Holiday. That's the name of this episode. But I've also seen it listed as Swing Low, Sweet Chariot Race. And I don't know why. I don't see any reason or any explanation of why it was also called that. Maybe when it originally aired, it was called that. But then in syndication, they changed it to Roman Holiday. I have no idea. This, as I said, is the fifth episode of the first season, and it goes back to ancient Rome. Now, what I forgot to mention is that in some of these episodes, and maybe it's all of them, and maybe I just missed them, after the credits, after everything at the end, I've seen a few times Biff pop up, Thomas Wilson pop up, doing some sort of little gag, and that's what I played at the beginning of this episode to kind of remind me, oh, that I forget Biff shows up doing that. Obviously, Thomas F. Wilson. There is no Mary Steenburgen in this episode. There is no Clara Clayton Brown in this episode at all. But everyone else is there. Even Einstein's there for a moment. This episode originally aired October 19th, 1991. Now, according to the Back to the Future Wiki, Futurepedia, and by the way, you can go to Futurepedia. You can go to backtothefuture.fandom.com. to check out Futurepedia. According to this article, it says the original air date was October 12th, but it was preempted due to the Clarence Thomas hearings. I'm sorry, when did this thing air? I thought it was a Saturday morning cartoon, and now they're saying the Clarence Thomas hearings? Is that correct? Could that possibly be right? I went into the IMDb trivia, and this TV show seems to be lacking in all kinds of facts interesting information. There are a couple of YouTube videos, but I'm hesitant to watch them before I watch more episodes of the series. But the IMDb trivia just talks about what year the DeLorean travels to. Like, it's not really trivia. That's part of the story that we're told in this episode back to ancient Rome. Anyway, the episode was written by Mark Chiastorin and Michael Chiastorin, or Chiastorin, and John Luden, and it was directed by Phil Robinson. Now, I looked up some of these fellas, and Phil Robinson, he directed, he directed Ferngully 2. He directed The Twisted Tales of Felix the Cat, Back to the Future. He directed 7 episodes of the series, something called The Dreamstone, but he worked on a lot of animation as well. Unfortunately, Phil Robinson is no longer with us. It was written by Michael and Mark Clasturin. Clasturin? Clasturin? I don't know. But it's interesting. Michael is additional crew on a bunch of movies like Star Trek Nemesis, The People versus Larry Flint, Hudson Hawk, and Back to the Future 3. And in fact, he's also been an actor. He played a reporter in The People versus Larry Flint. He played a cashier in Tales from the Crypt, a CDR worker in Lethal Weapon 3, the Dean in Hudson Hawk, and he played Townsman Number 1 in Back to the Future Part 3. So maybe I've already talked about this guy. Interesting. And I'm guessing the other dude is his brother, Mark Clasturin, who is basically, he worked on a bunch of video games. He's done voice acting. Interesting. Did he do Back to the Future? I don't know. Because he was doing voice acting all the way through. He was on like Johnny Bravo and just little bits thing. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us as well, passing away in 2012. And I think there was another guy, John Luden, who also co-wrote this. He's not listed in the IMDb. That's what I'm talking about. The IMDb is so incomplete. Maybe someday I should go through each episode and really painstakingly make sure that the facts are all there. Because, maybe that's my idea for Marchie McFly 5. I just go through IMDb and edit, and you just sit there and watch me do it on video. I'm kidding. That's never going to happen. Not the IMDb. That might happen, but as a podcast, no. So, as I said, this episode was, aired in October of 1991, and I'm trying to think what old Mikey was up to in October of 1991. So, I was at this point a sophomore in high school. I am 15, I'd say. 91. Yeah, 15 years old. So, jeepers, creepers. I don't know what I was, just probably hanging out with my friends. I didn't have a job. I think I was throwing the shot put in high school, part of the bowling club. There was a bowling reference in this episode. But I will tell you, this episode is the first one to me that didn't have the, like, a real moment where you thought a character was going to be killed or death, anything major like that. Because let's go through the first four again. This kind of, I'm disappointed, to tell you the truth, that it ended the streaks, because the first episode, we have Vern goes back to the Civil War and the battalion he's in, they talk about being killed. And when you think about it, Vern's body had been, you know, buried there forever for over 100 years. In the second episode, they go to old England, and it was the 1300s, and they're almost decapitated by an executioner. In the third episode, I talked about the fact that they, you know, erased humankind when the dinosaurs took over, but really, the real death issue is when they come back and say, sorry, dinosaurs, and they put the meteor back, and you see their friend Donnie, the dinosaur, actually to cry when they leave and then fly off as the meteor hits, killing him probably almost instantaneously. And then in the last episode, Witchcraft, of course, Marty is about to be burned to the stake if he floats, but luckily they kicked him in the water to drown. They assumed he drowned and died. In this episode, I thought for sure we would get something like that, some sort of thing where they're sentenced to death, but it didn't happen. We got a catacombs. We got with a skull, you know, the final resting place. We got Doc was thrown to the lions, or was it Marty was thrown to the lions? I forget. There were lions. But there wasn't, it was almost just like Run for Your Life. Nothing that was specific to, like, this person is dead or sentenced to death or is going to die. So, you know, it ends my streak a little bit, but okay. Okay, and maybe that's why I didn't love this episode all that much. The episode opens up with Doc in his, you know, doing his normal thing. He's talking to the camera first, Christopher Lloyd, but it's weird. We see him. He looks like he's in front of the Colosseum or, you know, something, some ancient Roman, you know, building. He's dressed with a toga and he's eating spaghetti, but he throws a little historical fact that, of course, spaghetti wasn't brought back to Italy until Marco Polo came back in the 1200s. Before then, they don't really know what the, you know, the Italian cuisine was. But he was eating it. He was eating the hell out of it, which is funny because tonight I made angel hair and meatballs for my wife. So, you know, it all kind of ties in. Marty McFly, we were celebrating. We didn't know it at the time, but we were celebrating Marty McFly together. So that was really exciting. And so he just talks a little bit about ancient Rome and about how, you know, they didn't have spaghetti then. And Marty and I found out the hard way. And so they had, we jump over to the actual cartoon and we see Marty just riding along on his hoverboard. Again, it's 1991. Marty rides his hoverboard like it's nothing. He gets to the Brown Complex because we haven't seen his family at all. He thinks he's going to run into Doc, but instead we learn that Doc has this really fancy projector that makes holograms that look realistic. The kids were playing with it, and Marty got, you know, was mad at them about that. I mean, Doc was mad at them about that and said they have to stay home. As he goes and returns some plans, he didn't want to bring the kids along. He has to return some plans to something that he was working on, this research. And Marty's like, hey, can I go along? He's like, sure, that's great. And the kids go, fine, we'll stay here. But they were using the holographic projector to pretend to stay there. Instead, they all climbed in the car together and flung off to ancient Rome, to 36 AD, to be exact. I don't know the date, like the month or time, but we do learn something about calendars later on in the episode with a couple back-to-the-facts moments. But first, we get to ancient Rome, and Doc and Marty don't even know the kids are there. Einstein's left behind. He stayed behind. But the kids are there, and they're ready to get into trouble pretty much right off the bat, they go to a Roman bath. And thankfully, I don't think it was as realistic as maybe some of these Roman baths would be. I don't know. But thankfully, everyone was clothed. But it was interesting that they had all the characters speaking Latin. They didn't understand the kids, and the kids didn't understand them. They see this dude that is bathing and fanning a guy, and they accidentally slide and knock him into this bath. This Roman dude gets real pissy and takes a whip out and goes to whip his slave. And the kid's like, don't do that. That's mean. And then I think the guy helps them leave or something. They don't really explain it. They just jump off, and we see Marty and Doc. They're in downtown. Marty, you know, he's asking, where can I get a pizza? And Doc's like, he doesn't understand you, or you don't understand her because she's speaking Latin. Here is a universal translator. He puts it in his ear. Now he can understand everything she's saying, and she can understand him. And for the rest of the episode, I think everyone's speaking English, which I guess the kids got a translator too, because for the rest of the episode, everyone around the kids are also speaking English. You'd think Doc would just know Latin, but nope. Everyone speaks English because Marty put a translator in his ear. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. It's just not a well-crafted show sometimes. There's not the painstaking attention to details that you'd think you'd find in a show. And yes, I know it's 30 years old, but the animation just... Do you know, like, when you'd see a show or a movie, like Disney would put out a big movie, The Little Mermaid, but it's not Disney property. It's, you know, it's based on stories that are out in the ether. And then you'd go to a video store, and while The Little Mermaid is in the theaters, there'd be The Little Mermaid on VHS. But all of a sudden, it was like a different Little Mermaid. Didn't look the same, wasn't exactly the same, or the different Snow White. And I don't know if it was Filmation or something like that. The animation just didn't look as good. It was crisp. It wasn't as crisp. It wasn't as cleanly drawn. It was just a little cheaper. That's how these cartoons feel to me. And yet, I've sentenced myself to do this 21 more times. Okay, back to the action. So apparently Jules finds Doc. I don't know exactly how. They just kind of, they run into each other. He's like, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, we came on the ride. Oh, okay. And that's over with pretty quickly. They're like, we just got to figure out what's going on. Oh, Vern and Jules are getting chased by guards now who speak perfect English. And Doc needs to help them. So then we cut to commercial and we get a weird back to the facts. Why do I say this one's weird? First of all, it's a new thing that just showed up in the last episode, but it's weird because there's no voicemail, no voiceover in this one. And all it says is the average person in ancient Rome lived to be only 22 years old. So maybe that's my avenue towards death, or at least something dark. I mean, hey, kids, hey, 12-year-old kids, if you lived in ancient Rome, you'll be dead in 10 years. Let's get back to the action. So it jumps back in, and it's just these weird two goofy-looking guards chasing Vern back into the baths. Meanwhile, Jules and Doc are walking around. They go from the hot area of the baths to the cold area, the frigidarium, I think they called it. And somehow Jules is like, look, under here there's pipes. There's like ducts. If we open up this, pull up this tile, we can make fog. And that allows them to get back and get Jules, I guess. Doesn't quite, lead to anything really exciting. But we jump over to Marty. And that, I guess, is where the fun stuff's happening. Because Marty's at he's at some sort of like open market. And he buys this like fish. It looks pretty gross with like grapes on it and stuff. He turns and he smashes it right into someone he walks into. Who does he walk into? But okay, the guy's name is Bificus Antanani. Bificus, it's Biff. And he's like, gosh, is there a tannin in every century? It's Bificus Antanani. And Marty says his name is Marticus. Get it? Like Spartacus. And we get a couple classic jokes of, you know, Bificus being angry, calling him a tuum de gluteus maximus, also known as a butthead. Now, I forgot to mention in the Salem episode, Goodman Tannen called Marty Fanny Face instead of butthead. Okay. Then, folks, he challenges, because of Marty, you know, stained him, he challenges Marty to a chariot race. Marty's like, yeah, no thanks. But then Biff calls him a Honus Pulis. And Marty looks at his translator because the translator wasn't working right, I guess. And it allowed him to look and it said chicken. We got chicken. Now I read in the wiki, it says this is an error. Because at the end of Back to the Future Part 3, Marty was able to overcome his need to always, go against when someone calls him chicken. But this is a cartoon that really takes away a lot of stuff from the movies. So don't worry that in the movies, he decided to no longer get upset when people call him chicken. In this, he's like, nobody calls me chicken. And it turns out now that Marticus and Bificus are going to be in a chariot race together. Exciting times, right? So while that's going on, Doc is back with his kids. And these two guards show up. And I don't remember why. I literally don't remember why this happens. But he gets taken away. The guards then try to chase. The guards run off with Doc. The kids go to chase Doc. They run by a guy who is sculpting Venus with two arms, but they knock the arms off. Okay, so there's them changing time. Originally, Venus had two arms, but they're the reason the arms were knocked off. Or at least Venus never had two arms, and it was always them, because isn't that how time works? Time is a flat circle. The kids actually use the arms as weapons to fight off the guards, but they're able to hide. And what happens is the slave earlier in the episode helps them and takes them under his wing. His name is Judah, and he was my favorite part of this whole episode because he had a way of ducking. It just sounded like it was just a funny way of his voice. And the way he pronounced things and the voice he had and the way he talked was just very funny. And I think there's a reason for this that we find out at the very end. But he takes them down into the catacombs. They run into some skulls. I think they go down to try to break Doc out because Doc's in prison there. But instead, that doesn't happen. I really don't even know. I literally just watched this episode. And I'm like, oh, yeah, they're there with the prison, but they don't get him out. So we cut over to the chariot and Marty's able to sit down and watch the pre-show. He's like, oh, cool, a show first. We get to watch the first act. This blue guy, literally a guy whose skin is light blue, comes out. I guess he's supposed to be the emperor, the Holy Roman Emperor. I don't know. But to me, he sounded a little like Alfred Hitchcock, you know? Like, I can't even do an Alfred Hitchcock, but you know when he would talk before something? Yeah, I'm not doing it right. That's what the first thing I got. Now, it probably wasn't. Maybe it was something else. But that's what I got out of it. So they let these lions out in the Colosseum, and Marty's like, oh, cool, an ancient Rome version of Cats, which is, you know, one of the greatest musicals of all time. Folks, have I talked about my love for Cats? I'm sure I have. But whenever I watch Jeopardy and they talk about theater and plays, my answer to everything is always Cats. I like to guess what one of the answers might be in every category. And if I see Broadway, well, damn it, it's Cats. And guess what? I saw a performance of Cats when I was a kid. And guess what? When I was in college, I lived in a dorm. I had a cassette player. That's how old this was. And, well, there were CDs, but I still had a cassette player. And I had the Cats soundtrack on cassette, and I would listen to it sometimes in my dorm. Yeah. Yep, I was one of those cool kids in college. I don't know why this took a side play to Cats, but you know, hey. And they all say, oh, well, I guess there never was ever a cat so clever. Okay, I'm done. Magical Mr. Mistopheles. Okay, now I'm done. Sorry, but I have to. What a magical song that is. So anyway, it's not Cats. It's someone's being thrown to the lions. And who is it? It's Doc. Doc's being thrown to the lions. Then we cut to commercial and we get another fun fact. But this one is voiced over by Dan Castellaneta Doc, the cartoon Doc. It says, the calendar we use today was first conceived by the ancient Romans and contained only 10 months. And then you learn something. You're like, oh. And then it says December was, you know, still the final month. And that comes from the root word deca, which means 10. So December was the 10th month before they added in a few of those months. Maybe July wasn't there yet. July is named after Julius Caesar. And was August named after Caesar Romero? No, Caesar Augustus. And September was named after Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think. Anyway, so we jump back to the Colosseum, and all these lions are dancing around Doc. They go to clobber him, but it turns out they go to eat him even, but it turns out it's just a projector. So they did break Doc out of the prison. That whole thing was that the projector for the hologram, which works wonders from hundreds of feet away. They think Doc's dead. Doc's fine. And then they just leave. He goes back with Marty behind the scenes to go to the chariot. I don't know why they don't just leave. I don't know why they're with Marty. They're able to walk in there, help him figure things out. But then they just don't leave. It doesn't make any sense to me because, well, again, that's logic. Now, here's something. They help get his chariot to look, you know, I guess they give him some extra options, extra buttons, things. I don't know why. Then he says, great, now I can win. He goes, no, you must not win. Maybe they just made it safer for him. So this is the one time they actually were a little responsible with time travel so far in this entire series. He says, you can't win because if you win, Bificus, maybe he gets thrown in prison or he gets killed. I forget. But Bificus needs to win this. Then he becomes the leader after Caligula or something like that. Anyway, the historical timeline has Bificus and Antennae needing to have the victory. Great. Okay, fine. They get to the race. Biff uses all kinds of tricks. Like you think he's in Wacky Races, the tricks he has with his tires and spikes and all this stuff. And Marty's keeping up the whole time. And he has a point where actually Marty looks like he's going to win. But Doc says, no, don't pull this lever. He pulls a lever. A parachute comes out of the back, slows the chariot down. And Biff ends up winning the race. He's all excited. They're like, hey, Biff, you know, yeah, you won. And Biff goes, hey, I know, now Marty is my friend and everything's great. Let's celebrate by throwing him to the lions. They throw him into the lions, but then I don't even know how he has his chariot still. Now, while that's going on, Doc is talking to that Judah character who's like, how you doing? I'll help you get out of here. And he takes the chariot from Marty. Marty jumps in the DeLorean and they take off. It doesn't really make much sense. But then he says, oh, thank you, Judah. He goes, you're welcome. What? I never got your full name. He goes, it's Judah Ben-Hur. They go, oh my goodness, you know who that is? And it's like, I know. And they fly away. But ladies and gentlemen, Ben-Hur is not a real character, isn't he? It was a novel. From what I read in the Wikipedia, Ben-Hur was not a historical character. It was a novel written and a character written for that novel. But it doesn't matter because Doc Brown and Marty McFly weren't real characters. Well, they are in my world. They take off. But before they do, they fly by with the DeLorean, scare Bificus. He falls out of this, you know, box seat over at the Colosseum. And what does he do? He lands in Manua. We get another Biff in manure. I wonder if we're going to get that going forward. It seems like they made the first couple episodes and we're like, wait, we should add this and we should add that. Well, we're not going back to change this. So let's just start adding it now. Because that's two manures in a row. They go, come on. And then Doc goes, now it's time to go. And the kids go, back to the future. He goes, no, I meant we have to go into town because I have some scrolls I still need to return. Remember, his whole reason for being there was to bring some scrolls back. But he hadn't done it yet because of all the craziness they got into. And I've yet to see anything in the future. They haven't done anything yet to show like, oh, wow, look what's changed. Look what we changed. Except for the time the dinosaurs were still roaming the earth and ruling the earth. but nothing like that. Since because again, these are 20-minute episodes, basically. Once you take in the opening credits, then the opening doc scene. I mean, the cartoon doesn't start till a minute 45, 48 into the episode, and it ends 20 minutes in. So we're talking 19 minutes of cartoon. So they try to fit a story in there, and this is what you get. Doc's hanging out in a hammock, the live-action Christopher Lloyd, and he goes, this is a real way to have a holiday. And then he starts mentioning air pressure and drag, and this is how they bring the science into it. This is how we bring the mute, unspeaking Bill Nye the Science Guy to show drag. We saw in the commercial, in the cartoon, we saw the car have a parachute, not the car, the chariot had a parachute that allowed Marty to not win the race. And so then the big scientific principle they're showing here is drag. Literally, Bill Nye puts two toy cars next to each other on a ramp, one with a parachute, one without, and they show how the one with the parachute slows down while the other one doesn't. That's the friggin' science. Bill Nye, he is Bill Nye the Science Guy in this, you know, episode. Like, in the credits, it says Bill Nye the Science Guy. He doesn't say a thing, and he's probably thinking to himself, this is the science I'm doing? A parachute? It jumps back one more time, and Doc says something, and I don't even remember. I just don't remember. This, I don't know if this was the weakest episode yet. It did kind of make me chuckle, because Ben-Hur in the movie is played by Charlton Heston, so I don't know if the guy was doing sort of a Charlton Heston. I don't even know if that's a Charlton Heston. I just know the voice made me laugh. It made me chuckle a couple times. Nothing written. It was just sometimes the way the voice says it. There is a show on Netflix called Disenchantment, I think. Disenchanted or Disenchantment. Matt Groening, and Billy West did some of the voices. And he would do like this old Elfie Prospector, or this other guy who would always say, oh no. And every time it made me laugh, and it was just nothing. It wasn't like the jokes were funny or anything. It was just the fact that the way the voices said it, it cracked me up. And there's a little bit of that in these episodes. There was in the last episode, some of the old in Salem, some of the voices made me laugh, the style of voice. And in this episode, the same thing. That's the one enjoyable thing that I got out of this episode, was the Charlton Heston impression, I think is what it was. And that's it. That is it. Now, guys, folks, peeps, I'm excited. I'm excited because not only am I excited that we're 5 days in, 5 days in a row, and 5 days of talking about this cartoon, but I'm excited to take a break and not talk about the cartoon tomorrow. What will we talk about? Well, you'll have to wait for the future or the past. No, it's just the future. You'll find out in the future no matter what, you'll find out in the future unless in the future you listen to that episode first and then come back to this and then you'd already know it. Yeah, I'm losing my brain. I can't even say losing my mind right. Guys, it's only 9 o'clock at night. It's not crazy right now, but these cartoons, if these cartoons came out and they were the only thing for Back to the Future, Back to the Future itself would be like, oh, what a weird idea. What a lame like cartoon for a time travel show. It's not, to me, it's not adding greatness or like, it's not adding to the story, to the lore, to the universe as much as I'd like it to. But I think tomorrow what we'll be discussing does kind of add to the universe in a better way. Maybe a more intellectual way. I would just think with a more detailed way, a more thoughtful way. That's all I'll say. But to learn more, you're going to have to listen tomorrow, and I hope you do. But until then, you know where you can find me on social media, @GeekMentality over on Blue Sky, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, and Mastodon.social at Geek Mentality, and YouTube. Follow us on YouTube, Fans Not Experts. That's because the website is fansnotexperts.com. That's where every episode of Geek Mentality is. If you don't know this already, Geek Mentality as a podcast is where you will find Sitcom All Ye Faithful every December, Marchy McFly for the last four Marches, and Movie Month. Movie Month, I've been doing it as a podcast for 8 years. Every June, 30 movies, 30 days, 30 podcasts. It's been 10 years, but the first 2 years were blogs. I was typing like some common simpleton. No. Podcasting. That's the future. There's also other things. I do other episodes. I did a Batman, big screen Batman. I did silver screen Superman. I need to get back and finish those, close those loops out, because next July is a big giant Superman movie that I just couldn't be more excited about. But all you have to do is either subscribe to Geek Mentality or subscribe to Fans Not Experts on YouTube, and you will hear or have the ability to hear. Most people aren't hearing this, but that are even subscribed, I can tell, but that's okay. You are the special few. You are the elite group of podcast listeners who are still listening this far, 37 minutes and 15 seconds in. But now I'm done. I realize I am just rambling on and on. So find me at Geek Mentality and all the socials. Fans Not Experts on YouTube. Fansnotexperts.com is the website. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for subscribing. I will be back tomorrow. We will not be talking about the cartoon, but we will be talking about Back to the Future. So until then, my friends, thank you once again. I'll see you tomorrow. And here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. 'Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.